So
how much is that?
Welcome to the podcast, Editor's Mastermind, the show that helps you with the business of podcast editing. I'm your host tonight, Carrie Caulfield Eric. You can find me for right now at yayapodcasting.com, but that's going to change in the future. And I'm joined by
Brian Ensminger. You can find me now and hopefully forever at toptieraudio.com. And Carrie, we've got a couple people who are out tonight. Do you want to cover those? Or do you want me to?
No, you're very good at it.
Okay. Well, first I'm going to start with a lip smack just to see if Alejandro's paying attention. Alejandro is our editor and we love him, even though we sometimes pick on him. Unable to join us tonight is Daniel Abendroth at rothmedia.audio. He's not feeling well. And also unable to join us is Jennifer Longworth, who is currently at Podcast Movement Evolutions, hanging out with all the fun people there. And oh, but she's in the chat. So Jennifer, we love that you're joining us in the chat. Also, Stephanie's here. So hey, Stephanie, great to see you.
Hey, Steph.
So Carrie, you put don't look for a horse in a mouse at the bottom. Like, is that what we're talking about tonight? What's going on?
No, I forgot to take that down. I was just pushing buttons earlier. And, you know, you were with me. So you didn't say anything. So we can take that down.
All right. There you go.
There we go. Did I feel like that distracted you from saying something?
I was just going to ask what we actually are going to talk about. Because even though I wrote the copy, I want to let you introduce the subject.
Last week, we talked about the different types of podcast editing we do and how we describe it to people. And just talking about our services in general. And I thought that it would be cool to actually practice or start to refine how we give our elevator pitches and explain our services when we are talking to potential clients.
I like it.
Yeah. What we do or used to do when we met more regularly privately in the mastermind is we would talk through these things and figure out what do you want to say to people to get them to be interested and want to pursue your services. So I thought that would be, we thought that would be a fun extension to do here.
As I was thinking about this one this week, I think last week we made a really interesting distinction because a lot of times we talk about how should we describe what we do. And last week we made the differentiation between an elevator pitch and a services description. And I thought that was really good. I don't know if you'd thought about that before, but I hadn't.
I mean, that conversation sparked me to really start thinking about how I explain my services because I had that situation, and you can hear me talk about it on the last show, where I like totally bombed an interview because I was like, I don't know what I do. And I couldn't say it succinctly, right? And I didn't communicate it in a way that the potential client understood. So yeah, I think that's important because you may give your elevator pitch, but what if you get a follow-up question?
Right.
What if they want a brief rundown of how you help people? Like, can you say that very clearly and, you know, in a way that's going to stick with them?
So as I was thinking about it, I was wondering if there's maybe even a third variation of this, right? So an elevator pitch is usually like a sentence or two, right? And a services description, probably a couple paragraphs. Like this is what we do. This is how we do it. This is why you should have comfort in my ability to do the thing that I do. Like that part comes out as a conversation. But I wonder if there's also an even shorter version that is like a 10 to 15 second thing, kind of like Daniel's comment. He said, hey, I make you sound like the expert you are, right? So that's, in my view, that's a little bit too short to be an elevator pitch. But I'm wondering if maybe there's also room for something like a hook. I don't know, as I bump my microphone as a professional podcaster. So what are your thoughts on that?
I was thinking about this earlier today, that is it right to say I tell stories with sound? Or do you give something a little bit that's more on the nose, more descriptive? I don't know.
I think there's room for all three. So as I think about myself, I think that I have a pretty good services description, and I think I have a reasonably good hook, right? So my hook is essentially, I'll make you sound like $1 million or as close as I can, right? My services description is a lot longer, but I don't know that I have a great elevator pitch, which would be something more on the lines of, I don't know, I help insert target market here, right? That whole thing that I haven't really worked through.
Yeah, making it, I think maybe the elevator pitch makes it way more client focused, right?
Yeah.
And the hook is like your vibe. So maybe that's the thing that you're using to attract that ideal client. Because I tell stories with sound is very different than I make you sound like $1 million.
Yeah.
But we have very different clients.
And I would say even Daniel and I have, our hooks are probably more similar, right? He makes you sound like the expert you are. But he also has different clients, right? Because he's focusing specifically on the life coaching, that kind of consultant coach space. And I'm not.
Yeah. And I'm mine specifically, since I've been working on more storytelling focused podcasts. When I say I tell stories with sound, those people that I want to hire me know exactly what I mean, right? Because they're identifying with the story. Whereas a coach would be identifying with the experts. And is really like, I make you sound like $1 million. Is that your hook? Or was that an example you gave on the fly?
That's kind of where I'm at right now. I don't know that that's a great one for me, but it's kind of where I'm at. I make you sound like $1 million is kind of where I've landed right now. But I don't know that that really describes everything, because there are a few things that it leaves out. For example, if you record in a tin can, I can't make that sound like $1 million. I can make it sound like polished metal.
I would argue with that. I'm going to push back against that, because I would say that if you do your job effectively, your clients are 99% sure your clients will not sound like they're in a tin can, because you will have fixed that or helped them fix that. And they really will sound like $1 million.
I would say on the average, that's true. I get the one-offs where they're like, oh, but the content's great. And I'm like, okay, but you're going to sound like poo-poo.
Yeah.
I was working on one earlier this week. I was like, I've run 3 different de-reverb tools in series to get to as close as I can to something that's marginally near acceptable, but you're not going to sound great. This is what it's going to be. But that's where that communication comes in. You go, okay, I did what I could with it. There's really nothing more.
Yeah. I have those situations too, but I don't want to attract those people who are like thinking they're not going to sound good.
But to your point, that's always my goal, right? From a production standpoint, from an editing standpoint, all of that. My goal is I want you to sound, I don't want to say professional, because that has a little bit of a stuffy feel to it, but I'll use professional. I want you to sound as professional as I can possibly make you sound from every part of the production, whether there's audio repair required or the editing process or the mixing and mastering, like all of that. I want it to sound great. It's not going to sound necessarily radio, because I'm not going for that sound, but it's not going to sound AM talk radio. It's not going to be FM talk radio, but it's also not going to be NPR. It's somewhere between those, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Jennifer is here.
So should we let her in?
I think we should let her in.
You're hosting.
In.
I'll be the Yeti of the chat. Jennifer, thanks for joining us.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
So Jennifer, we know that you're an expert in all things like this. So what would you tell me about my hook?
Oh, as a hook, it's fine. When you say elevator pitch, what length are we talking about? Because I've been to a bunch of NI meetings recently, and they give you about 45 seconds, and I make you sound like $1 million. Now, what do I say? I usually say, I empower you to change the world one podcast time, and then go on. I have the I help Central Kentucky entrepreneurs sound more professional by enhancing their audio through professional editing or whatever. It's on my business card. I can read it. But so I have that one too, but I do the empowering you to change the world one podcast at a time, and then go into the other thing. And the hook gets people to what else I have to say.
And so what's your hook again?
Empowering you to change the world one podcast at a time.
That's good. I kind of struggle a little bit to come up with my own. So we'll use me as the case study. Where I've gotten to is I help business and nonprofit leaders. And then I'm like, but what comes after that? Sound like $1 million is like kind of, that's not really an elevator pitch, right? And also I mean, while it's not inaccurate, it doesn't connect with me viscerally. It's not that it's not true. It just doesn't like grab me and go, this is what I should like. When Carrie shares her, I tell stories with sound. I'm like, I know exactly what that means. I don't feel like this other than saying these are the things I do really describes that. How can I get to something more visceral, more meaningful? I'll let either of you answer. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. When I hear you say the hook, I make you sound like a million bucks. It doesn't like scream Brian's personality to me. I feel like it's probably a little bit out of alignment. Who you are as a person and maybe what your business does. I don't even feel like it fits with top tier audio.
Okay.
It feels a little mismatched to me.
I'm intrigued to know more about that.
Top tier feels, I don't know.
Okay.
That feels very, and I'm thinking about your logo as well. Like that feels very techie and, you know, sounding, and a million bucks seems like ultra like businessy and not businessy in a great way, because I feel like you would fit better with somebody or, you know, businesses that aligned with your values, right? They don't feel you as a like, million bucks guy. Let's, you know, that just makes me think of like a bro dude who's just trying to make money off of people. And I feel like that's not who you are.
Sure.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's the million bucks thing that doesn't, it's kind of awkward. It sounds cheesy.
I make you sound like a Vardy. That's good.
No, but I know like the way you do business and the way you do sound is and podcasting is really like almost methodical and like almost like an engineer because you're a podcast engineer, but also very like, I just want to say like heart centered for you. And like, you're very caring and very smart. And I feel like, yes, you want to help businesses, but I don't think you're looking to help the businesses who are. Like, I feel part of what that hook is to attract the kind of people you want to work with because it will resonate with them. And I Make You Sound Like a Million Bucks is going to resonate with somebody who maybe is not a great client for you. Hmm. So.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
We have another joiner.
I don't have the answer
okay.
for what it should be, but it.
Well, know. Then I'm not paying for this consulting session. Let's bring on Steve. Hey, Steve.
I feel like I'm just going to jump in and just complain. I don't want to do that.
Oh.
But you guys are having a good conversation. But yes, the whole sound like a million bucks. I think Carrie nailed it with the whole, it doesn't sound like your brand. Top tier audio. What do I think of if I was just a podcaster? Just, I hate that. If I was a podcaster, not an editor, and I was looking for somebody and I found something called top tier audio, what does top tier sound like to me? To me, I'm thinking white glove service.
Okay. Professional, like super professional and kind of high class, you know, but in like I feel like it's got a techie vibe to it. Well, if you look at top tier, like if you were to see his website and see top tier audio and the way his branding is, you know, it's got that equalizer, but that equalizer is like very structured and like it makes a solid foundation for his top tier name, like lettering. And I feel like that is Brian. He's very solid. He's got a strong foundation. He's got strong values. He knows how he wants to do business. He's very methodical. He knows how to take care of customers. And nothing I have said yet is about money.
And it's not about audio either.
Yeah.
It was about service.
Oh.
Interesting. That's yep. good.
Top tier. When you go to a bar and you say you want top shelf.
Yeah.
And you go to a restaurant and you want the top, you know, sir, it's Brian, it's all about service. The audio, the expert audio engineering that you do and the editing that you do comes along with that top tier level service. You've got something on your site that's, I mean, it's really short. You're a professional, your podcast should be professional too. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Okay. Maybe I should go back to that. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yep. Top tier.
Yeah.
So focus on the service, because for me, I'm not the best editor in the world. No way. Not even close. I still use Audacity. Come on. Although I'm dipping my toe into Hindenburg. But the reason why I still have clients that have been with me for 6 to 7 years now is because of the service. It's not, I still make mistakes. I still don't get the audio as great as I would like it to. It's all because of service. So I think, Brian, that's, you're along the same line there when you say top tier audio, top tier service.
That's really good. That's really helpful. And I'd honestly forgotten that I had that phrase on my website. So I need to go back and visit my own website.
With that said, I don't have a good one for myself. I don't have any kind of a tagline.
Do you think that's because you don't have to, maybe at this point in your career, go out and find people to work with?
I do believe that. Although right now I am feeling the need to expand and grow. So I do need to have those short elevator pitch type things.
Yeah. So, I mean, Steve, I almost feel like you could steal what you just pointed for me toward, right? I mean, that certainly describes you as well. You do a great job. You're very consistent. The people you serve are very professional, right? I mean, you're talking financial planners that you got to have your stuff together.
Well, if you give me permission, then I'll steal it.
I mean,
I'll go ahead.
You can.
I might steal it too. I kind of like it.
The other thing I think of when I think of Steve's business is just, I'm Steve. I do great work and everybody knows it. Not that he's arrogant, but I mean, everybody knows Steve does great work.
I take care of
people.
That's true. That's my thing. You know, what's funny is I worked with a branding. I should probably bring this up. This might be helpful to people. I actually worked with a branding specialist to come up with my logo and all this stuff, which I still need to put onto my website and all my other stuff. And she came up with some really cool phrases from conversations we had. So let me throw this at you guys and see if this is something that maybe you would think could fit you. Or where's Patrick? Where is he?
I don't know. I'm worried.
Probably podcast movement.
I got to find them, but they're really good.
We've been giving me all the value, but you know, if there's somebody else that wants to come on and workshop your thing, welcome to do that. Jennifer, did you want to workshop yours? Or are you good with what you got?
I've said it so many times, it just kind of rolls off, even if I don't mean to. Empowering you to change the world one podcast at a time. And people are like, oh, what's that? And then I don't know if it's any good or not.
So what do you say after they say, what's that?
Usually I have a lot longer. And then I say, I'm a podcast editor, you know, immediately follow up with that. You know, probably what you all talked about last week.
Well, and I think that episode is worth checking out if you want to kind of follow along with us at home while you're listening. Now and later to figure out what yours is. So we have lots of
you know, enhance people, make them sound smarter than what they are. And I learned the word disfluency from the podcast editor conference we did. And I love saying that because that makes me sound smart. Not everyone uses the word disfluencies. And I'm like, I remove your disfluencies. And everyone's like, ooh, what's that?
That's great. Steve, did you find your stuff?
No, surprisingly, it's all in one place and I still can't find it.
Okay.
So, well, it's be but one was like, it's like, you know, I'll take care of you, but I'm not your mama or something like that. It was something ridiculous.
I remember that one. Not word for word, but I remember you shared something about that. Like something along the lines of the picture I had in my head was, I'm here to help, but I'm not putting your dishes up for you. I know that's not what the words were, but that's the way it connected to me.
Okay, I did find these two things, so maybe this will help. One of them said, this is for me, but I think this could be used by almost anybody. I edit for personal finance podcasters. You can change that genre to whatever you want. I edit for personal finance podcasters so they can produce great sounding, high quality shows that help them grow their brand and influence. Not audience, brand and influence.
Influence.
Yeah.
I like influence as opposed to audience. That's a good distinction.
Yeah, I like that as well, because I think a lot of people, when they think growing their audience, they're just thinking numbers, right? But influence doesn't require a large number of people. It could be a small number of very motivated people.
I used to use the word influence and I forgot.
I think a lot of people see that as a bad word now. So I get it. I get why they dropped that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Impact is another one you can use.
Impact?
Yeah.
Yeah. Grow their brand and impact. Yeah. And you think about the person who's reading that or hearing that from you, then they're not thinking about, oh, he's going to, you know, dial in the audio or edit it to spec. He's going to help me grow what I'm doing. Or she's going to help me grow what I'm doing. They're going to help me grow what I want to do with having this show over here. Now, I'm talking to people who use their show as part of their brand. Not necessarily they're trying to make money just by having a podcast, although I do have a couple of people like that. So, yeah, as you're positioning your phrases, think about what the person who's hearing it, what are their expectations? So make me sound like $1 million doesn't pay the bills. So I like the service aspect because that's what they want. They want you to take the problems off their hands and take care of it for you or for them.
And along that vein, Stephanie says, I help solopreneurs get the most from their podcasts instead of I edit audio and video podcasts and provide organic growth tips. And she also says she's been told to focus on client results and not the actual task. Huge shift for her, but she likes it. So yeah, I think that's it. How do you make the podcaster's life better and easier?
On that though, I'd like to ask and maybe push on that a little bit because I don't disagree, but a lot of what we do as editors is going to be consistent from one editor to another. The tasks we do, maybe not the way we do them and stuff. So if I was to say, if you work with me, you're going to get a podcast that sounds great. I feel like I fall in the category of so what? And
yes,
I don't disagree that what I'm delivering is that, but how do you fall not in the category of so what without trying to find some kind of value added differentiation like organic growth or something like that?
It's a good question, but I have to cough so somebody else could answer.
And if I had the answer, I would give it to you but I don't, right? And that's been like a 3-year struggle for me because it's not that I don't know, maybe I've got a little bit of arrogance, but I don't think I'm like every other editor, but at the same time, until somebody knows me, I kind of am every other editor.
One of the things that the hook that we talked about does is really showcase who you are and how you approach things. There's something about service providers. Like we find one we won't leave if they keep giving us that experience over and over again, if we're satisfied. If we like them, I think it really is about the relationship and the kind of people you want to work with, right? And as a customer, that's how I feel. Or as a client, that's how I feel. Like I want to, every time I have an interaction with the service provider, I want to have a positive experience. And when I don't have a positive experience, because I get to know and like the people who are providing me services, I'm empathetic, right? I'm not necessarily angry. If somebody makes a mistake, I'd be like, oh, well, they must, you know, have something going on or, you know, what I'm like not thinking it's because they suck. I think it's because, you know, something's maybe not up to the expect or standard that I know this person has. And so I am more forgiving. So I really think it is about that relationship. I think that's what makes you stand out and people are attracted to your personality and your energy and stuff. And I think that's where you can use social media to your advantage to display that. That's how I approach my work. This is who I am, you know, sound good.
Well, in thinking about like in-person networking, which y'all know I do a lot of, you give the hook, you give your elevator pitch, which hopefully encourages someone to approach you to start the conversation to build the relationship. I mean, nobody's ever hired me. I'm like, maybe nobody, maybe somebody who I no longer work with hired me just because, oh, you're a podcast editor, I need one, sold. And those relationships don't work out.
Right.
But, you know, the people who I've been working with recently, some of my new launches, I've known them for years, build the know, like, and trust thing. And then finally they're like, oh, okay, I'm ready. Let's pull the trigger. But the initial pitch and hook and everything is what, you know, piques their interest. But then they go on to learn more.
The pitch or hook is the resume that gets you the interview for the job.
There you go.
Yeah, it's the trailer
Yeah, the resume doesn't get the job.
Right.
It's the sales letter. Resume that gets you to the next step, which is the interview.
You know, Carrie, one of the things you said about how we take care of people kind of reminded me, maybe part of that unique selling proposition is, you know, 75% of my clients are either launched with me or have been with me for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Like, you want to talk about somebody who delivers consistent results. These people have stayed with me this long, and I'm not the lowest priced editor out there. They could go somewhere else and pay less, and they don't.
Yeah, there really is a relationship, right? You know, because I have, one client that I've been with her from, you know, just a passion project to a multiple six-figure business. And we've grown together as well. So I think that people underestimate the relationships between what we do and our podcasters, right? I think it has nothing to do with the actual work. I think it has to do with the experience. And if the experience is consistently positive, that's going to lead to great, like, because I'm in, you know, I don't have to really go out and give pitches or really seek out my, I mean, my business model is I don't want another podcast on my plate. Like, no more clients. Right. But I understand that I will perhaps one day be in a situation where I will, and I should be able to talk about what I do and tell strangers, you know, network. And really, I think everything we're talking about is that know, like, and trust, that starting to build a relationship with people.
No, that's good. Jesse had something I wanted to share as well. Talks about if you build your reputation as a top tier editor, clients will come to you. When they come to you, that changes things because you've already differentiated yourself. I would agree with that. I haven't quite figured out how to get all the clients to come to me, but that's something I'm working on for sure.
I don't know if Steve has any thoughts or wants to jump in at all, but I think, I mean, do you? Yes, you did. Okay, I saw you. Sorry.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I think I'll jump in since you pointed at me. What Brian was saying, you know, he's not getting all the clients coming to him. And I'm looking at that same thing right now. There's somebody in this community who's in the exact same space as me, who is taking clients, I wouldn't say away from me, but taking clients from the same community that I'm in. But she also does different things than I do. I specialize in only a couple of the tasks, and she does like all the things, or has a team that helps do all the things. So Brian, when you're talking about not having all the people come to you, are you giving them the things that they need, or they think they need, or that they would love to pay somebody else to do? Is that why they're not coming to you? Because you're not offering show notes or something like that?
Yeah, I don't have enough data points to really answer that with a high level of precision. But I've definitely landed a client or two in the last year. I've got one that went away that came back, right? So that stuff is happening. But the new clients, those are maybe one every 2 years, which at my current rate is okay. But it doesn't really, that kind of keeps up with attrition and all that stuff, but it doesn't really grow to the level that I'd like. However, I don't go to in-person networking events like Jennifer. I don't post online or have somebody else post online for me as much as Jennifer does, right? I'm not working the marketing wheel as hard either. So it's not really fair to say that they're not coming, but at the same time, they're not coming, right? So it's both sides of it.
And I think part of that would also be, are you going to be in the places where that potential client is, where they normally hang out, what they do? And that's why for me, it's so easy for me to attend FinCon, which is my niche, and just, you know, nurture relationships there that some become clients. And I also get, you know, the recommendations of other people who go there, who are my clients and been clients for a long time.
Definitely.
So where you're going at. I think this conversation's gone way far left from what the original topic
Welcome
was,
to
though,
the
right?
Podcast.
Which is, how do you talk about what you do as an editor? Yeah, I think we solve problems. I think we provide excellent customer service. I think we do it through editing, but I don't think editing is the actual sales point. If someone wants to talk about the specs, we can do that.
I really do think it's that experience, right? And that making of their life easier.
So I think people their time back. That's a great one, right?
Yeah.
I was going to use that one once, but then I noticed everybody was.
Yeah, exactly.
It's it like doesn't work either. I've tried it. I've tried that on somebody and they're like, yeah, but I don't want to give my time back.
Well, then why are you hiring an editor?
They didn't hire an editor. That's the thing.
Well, and, you know, that's the other part of it, right? Because if you were talking to somebody and you hadn't pre-framed any part of it, you would start by finding out what it is that they're looking for. Why are we having this conversation? What are you looking for? And then you would have that conversation with them in person, one-on-one. And if they're looking for their time back, you would say, this is how I do that. If I want to have a higher quality show, this is how I do that. It's a little bit more difficult when you're having more of what I would call a broadcast style conversation, where you're trying to develop that presentation for people. And that's the part I'm trying to figure out, right? Because I don't remember who said it, but the whole marketing thing is you're entering the conversation your customer is already having in their mind. Well, there are multiple entry points. One is your time back. One is a high quality show. One is doing things you can't do. One is expertise that you can bring to, like, all of that stuff is part of the package, maybe, if you offer it. But if you don't know what they're looking for, or I guess that comes back to the avatar. If you only want to work with people who need these things, then it's really clear exactly how you're going to communicate it. Maybe that's the missing piece for me, is I'm just not differentiated enough on that side.
I think maybe it's really about knowing your avatar's personality. So what I'm finding is that my clients all tend to struggle with the same things, right? For them, you know, it's getting started, getting organized. It is editing down the content that they're struggling with. It's the feeling of being overwhelmed, having to like make choices about equipment. And, you know, I could go on like all these little things that I know that almost every single one of my clients are going to have in common, right? Because I think that's part of their kind of personality, their archetype as a avatar. So when I speak to potential clients, I know that person. I know how I speak, and my personality is going to resonate with them, right? And I really think that's probably the piece that most people are missing, is really not understanding what their avatar needs. And the only way to find that out is to ask. Like, just start asking people. People, like, if you throw a question out on Facebook, for instance, or in a group, and out of 20 people, like, maybe two or three answer you, those are your people. That response, that there's something that you did that caused them to stop and take time out of their day and respond. So what is it that they're responding to in you and how you're presenting and framing everything? Something to think about, probably. Just throwing that out there.
I've definitely taken over a big portion of this show. Does anybody else want to be the focus for a minute?
No. Does anybody want to hop on? Jesse, let's hear your elevator pitch.
While he considers whether or not he wants to join, he did leave a comment. If we focus on what we think they need, we might miss out on other areas they have. Totally, totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll bow out to make room for someone else.
Okay.
But
thanks for joining us, Jennifer.
Live from earbuds.
May I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
If this was a workshop, or if this is a workshop, then if you were to, let's put everybody in the scenario here, anybody who's watching or listening to, you are up on stage to do a presentation and you need to introduce yourself and you can only do it in 30 seconds. How do you start that off? Isn't that what we're kind of workshopping here? Is that
where we
telling
started.
People what you do?
Yeah. Jennifer yeah. says 45 seconds.
45 seconds? Okay. So then does anybody have that? They want to try it? Because I'm trying to think of mine. And I think I might have something that's not 45 seconds.
And that's what I need to think through, because I'm, you know, I tell stories with sound. I think that'll get the right person in the door. And I was thinking that maybe something like by providing production support services for a professional podcast. But I feel like after that, forget it. It's just like there's a little bit here, a little bit there, and a little bit, just because for me, I'm still like, there's a lot of pieces I'm still learning. Spoiler alert, I don't feel like super confident right now doing like the story editor thing and the story producer because I'm still new at it, right? I'm still learning the ropes. So that makes me sound like an idiot sometimes because I'm sitting there and I'm like, what am I saying? I don't know what I'm saying. Because it's not something that I have done over and over and over and over again.
I'll try mine that I wrote while we were on this call, taking input from all of you, and then you can give me feedback and we can see what Brian did on the fly. So this is the one that, based on our conversation tonight, I help business and nonprofit leaders produce a professional level podcast that expands their reach and impact. And unfortunately, that's not 45 seconds, but that's what I've got so far.
Is there anything there that would want me to ask the next question, which is, you know, tell me more?
There's no zhuzh.
Yeah, there's no zhuzh. Oh, I love that.
I'm sorry. Expands their reach and impact, zhuzh. I don't know how to put any zhuzh in it.
I feel like your personality needs to come across. Like,
which one?
Yeah, because Carrie,
or like your personal.
Carrie nailed a bunch of your traits earlier.
Yeah.
And so for the audience, this really is how you get there. Like, you have to start talking about it and start trying and thinking and testing these things. And Stephanie said, expand their reach so that what's the end result for them?
Their wildest dreams come true and they've elected Pedro as class president. Well, there was a Napoleon
Dynamite.
You
need a little bit of that snarkiness in your...
I can't believe I remember that movie. No, that's a good point. I don't know.
Does it have to be an end game? Could it be a grow their brand and influence type of response?
I mean, that's what I ended with, right? Expands their reach and impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, I think if you aren't quite sure what the end result for your clients are, that it's harder to articulate that to new people. And I think that, Brian, what I would do is give your clients a little survey to ask them, like, what are you struggling with right now? Or what, like, you know, I mean, I have no doubt that you can create a great, like, little survey that really is, what is the actual benefit of having these services?
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, but I would also say that this is a little bit like trying to fix the space shuttle from the inside. It's hard to see the outside when you're in the middle of it. So while I could, I'm definitely going to take your input because you're on the outside. And so your perspective is by definition different than mine. And that's great.
I keep giving Brian more work.
that's what Carrie does. She goes away. Everything's fine. She comes back. All of a sudden, Brian has to do a bunch of personal work and grow as a person, all that garbage. No, thank you, Carrie.
You could also just maybe, like, I don't know, have some conversations with them as well. Like, I'm just saying, like, the only way to know is to ask.
Yeah. So what about you, Carrie? Do you have an elevator pitch yet? You going to share it with us? You going to build one on the fly?
So really, other than I help with the post-production services, not really. You know, no, because, and the other problem that I'm running into is like dialogue editing. Like, nobody understands really what that means, right? It's a new term to certainly podcasters and even podcasters who are doing things where they need a dialogue editor. They don't even know what to call it other than an editor. So I'm still thinking of, what do? I run around like crazy trying to put podcasts together is not a You know, one of the things I have been thinking of, and that story editing seems to involve, is taking somebody else's voice and vision and executing on it right in there, like helping somebody see their vision, because they'll just come with, like, at the beginning of a kind of a narrative podcast, sometimes they have no idea what it's going to be about, guys. Okay. They just have a bunch of interviews and a broad idea, and you find the story in that. So I help them get from that kind of really, like, oh my God, what is this, to, okay, here's the outline for each episode. And then we put it together. But I don't know how to put that into words.
How about you have a story to tell? I help you tell a story through sound or something like that.
Yeah, I still tell a story with sound, and I could be like, I tell good stories with sound.
Which makes it sound like you're creating the content. So now we got to make sure we twist it so that it's the podcaster who's, you have a story to tell, I help you tell it through sound or something like that.
So maybe something like, I help creatives tell story with sound.
The image that I have is something like a craftsman who's coming in to do like the finishing work on a piece of furniture, right? The rough work is done and you're doing all of the finishing work to actually make the thing beautiful. Or in some cases, somebody dropped off all the lumber and you go, okay, this isn't going to be IKEA when we're done, right? They're going to make this good.
I've done that podcast.
Where's Adobe Podcast when you need it?
Steph, I have to read your comment because it's like so lovely. Connect magic stories and thinking of words that match your genius. Thank you. Mike says it's nice to hear others struggle with the exact same thing I struggle with, standing out.
I should mention Mike is a voiceover artist. You can find him at Voice Monkey. He's a kind of a loose friend of mine. And so Mike, thanks for joining.
Oh yeah, I love Mike. The Finnish carpenter of podcasting. It would be Danish, by the way.
I think different kind of Finnish. There was only one N.
Oh.
So, Steve, you were kind enough to join, but you've really kind of been the grown-up in this episode. Is there anything we can offer you?
No, I was watching and I really wanted to get into the action. So thank you for letting me in. I can pop out if you'd like, or I can answer a question from Poddex.
Are you ready for the Poddex question?
Oh, look, Steve's better at this than we are.
I was looking at the clock. I was like, this is when they usually pull it out.
I was about to ask, actually. So, yeah. Steve, you're the special guest, number 1 through 5.
Let's go with 3.
3. What are you most excited about right now? I'll go first. I am currently most excited about getting off this call and trying to finish up my elevator pitch so I don't sound like a complete moron the next time I do it.
Ever so much more. Steve, what about you?
I'm excited about 2. It's funny. When I rolled into 2023, I said I was going to go to fewer conferences this year. And then like a month ago, 2 more came up. I'm like, I got to go to these. So I've got one coming up the next weekend. It's called Econo Me. And then another one a month later is from one of my clients. Actually, she started a conference for people in the financial industry who serve the military called Mil Money Con. Okay. I'm actually really excited, even though these are really smaller, maybe 400 people conferences. I'm really excited about going to those because those are my people.
Small conferences are nice. I'm on the conference vein as well. I'm excited about She Podcast Live. I am so ready. And if anybody's there and wants to come out to like my favorite pizza place ever with me, let's go. Let's get in some Ubers and go. So I'm super excited about that. I was hoping to take some time off before, but that's probably not going to happen because I said no new clients again, and I got a new client.
Isn't that how it all works? Any clients? Yes. Nobody's coming to me. I don't need more clients. Oh, yeah, here comes one.
That's it. Jennifer says she's excited about getting upgraded to first class for the second leg of her flight home. So that's great.
Jennifer will also be at She Podcast Live.
Yeah.
And actually, I have a code for She Podcast Live that is 60% off. And I believe that code is join me. And we will put that in the show notes so we can get y'all to She Podcast Live, right?
Did you say 60 as in 60, not 16?
That's what I heard too.
No, forget I said anything about percent.
Yeah. So if you'll send that to me, I'll make sure that it shows up in the show notes. And those that join us live, wait, I'm not hosting. What am I doing?
No, I like this.
All right. For those that joined us live, thanks for being here, for joining in the comments or jumping on the call, Jennifer and Steve. We're really glad to have you here. It's much better when people show up. So thank you. That's all I got. Now it's up.
And thank you. Thank you, Jennifer and Stephanie and Mike and, you know, everybody listening. And if you like this episode, we could workshop other stuff. So just let us know. Thank you, everybody. I'm Carrie Caulfield, Eric from Yeah, podcasting for now.
And I'm Brian Ensminger. You can find me at toptieraudio.com, hopefully for a really long time, and below me.
I'm Steve Stewart from the Podcast Editors Club on Facebook. How about that? Thank you for letting me on.
Thank you for joining us.
And Jennifer Longworth from Bourbon Barrel Podcasting joined us a little bit earlier, and not with us is Daniel Abendroth from rothmedia.audio.
All right, that's it. Okay. Should we hang up?
That's
all
it. Right,
bye.
How much is that?
Yeah.